offering a most loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Dear listeners, we welcome you to this week's episode of Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. Sorry for the delayed start, because the program before this was a little longer. We are starting a little late. But nevertheless, it's time for another episode of Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam, where we listen to Swami's discourses and we try to discuss about what point Swami makes there, with the hope that we understand better the deep message that Swami gives. If you're a regular follower of this program, you'll know that we have based this entire program on the discourses that Swami delivered as part of the 1991 summer course. In fact, we are at the very fag end of the series, because we are in the last discourse and we are in the second half of the discourse. So probably in a couple of weeks, we should be able to complete this discourse. And this is also a discourse that we've retranslated. So when we play out the clip, you'll realize that the voice of the translator is that of Brother Sunil of Radio Sai. I hope the translation is clearer than the live translation. And even as we go through the translation, we know how difficult it is to be a live translator of Swami, given that Swami's thoughts flow in a torrent, and it's very, very difficult to keep up with it. But before we discuss what Swami spoke in the clip which we played last week, and before we go into the clip that we're going to be playing for you today, let's invite Brother Hari to join all of us as always. Saram Hari.
Saram Prem.
And I think the last week when we left off, Swami was speaking about a very important point of how wealth, if earned in a wrong way, has got many ways of leaving you. You know, that's what Swami was talking about, the last paragraph which we went through, where Swami was saying that there are four thieves who come to take away that money that you have gathered in the wrong way. And Swami spoke about how by means of taxes, the government takes away some of it, and then by means of fire is one of the causes of you losing what you have, and thieves themselves, you know, as burglars. And finally, Swami said, through the means of ill health, where because of ill health, you have to spend a lot of money. And Swami said, the miser who would not give even a penny to a beggar, when it comes to his health, he will be ready to spend thousands and thousands. And and I think the condition today is much worse than what it was when Swami actually made the statement, even though it's not very long back.
Right? Where it concerns wealth, Swami has this very nice paradigm to decide or to think about wealth. He says you must wealth is like, you know, the fit of a shoe.
Right.
Any more than you need, you feel uncomfortable. Anything less than you need also, you feel uncomfortable. It's a question of finding the right balance, and you finding the good use of money is more important than money using you, right? Most of the time, that is what happens. Like it may be 50 or 60 years of our life that may pass before we realize that, you know, how much of our life has been spent chasing that money. And I think we were speaking about this, that we find in our circles a lot of people going through this exact same thought process, though a lot earlier, maybe at the ages of 30, 40, because that hunger for money, that very quickly is getting appeased nowadays, and leaving people with that thought that, is there anything more to do in this life? Because as a youngster, you have certain aspirations, like I'll have this kind of car, this kind of house, and all that is happening quite readily, you know. So the world says, right, I'm giving you this, it's almost on a platter now, very easily. Now let's see, like, what else, what bigger dreams you have, you know.
Right.
And that way, you know, Swami is, of course, cautioning here against, so one of the manifestations of becoming a slave for money is precisely this, that you start, and we are not speaking about people who are actually deprived financially.
Right.
It's speaking of people for whom money becomes a game in itself. Right. And then at that is a point of time where you begin to lose sight of where it is taking us, the humanity that is lost from us, and all those aspects, right? And so Swami is saying that when that happens, then life begins to, you know, give you a knock on your door, saying that, you know, there's something more, watch out.
Right.
And these are the ways, like Swami very hilariously says, that the government will come and claim its taxes. And then the thief will actually come and steal your money. Or there could be, God forbid, like something like fire or ill health. So the main essence, as the scriptures entail, that the kama, the desire for money, that has to go through the root of dharma. Sorry, the desire for artha has to go through the channel called dharma.
Right.
So that is very important, because ultimately the desire is, the final penultimate or the ultimate desire of man is moksha.
Right.
And hence all the others, you know, they have to be interlocked in such a way that the dharma becomes the foundation for either desire or for artha.
Right. In fact, that particular order in which the purusharthas are placed, you know, dharma, artha, kama, I think in that itself lies the essence of how you can lead your life. As you're saying, that the beautiful point that Swami says about the fit of a shoe.
Mm.
I mean, it's very apt, because, you know, nowadays we are looking for shoes much larger than ourselves, because, you know, then probably that's what shows off you as larger than what you are.
Correct.
Right? But Swami is saying that, go after that which you need. So in a sense, Swami is saying, dharma, you stick to your dharma, do what is your duty based on what station of life you are in, what profession you are placed in, what you are qualified to do, do that best, that is what is dharma. And through that, you will automatically earn what is artha.
Hmm.
I mean, that dharma will get translated into artha of some form, and then ensure that your karma is within the artha which is achieved or attained in this manner.
Yes.
You just ensure that the karma is always within this artha which is earned through this process of dharma.
Absolutely.
Then there will be no problem at all. As you're saying, it is not that Swami wants us to live in poverty or penury or total self-abnegation. That's something which actually Swami never spoke about. In fact, if you even look at scriptures like Manusmriti and the Dharma Shastras, they never speak of a life like that. That is almost like a personal choice. I mean, if that is the drive that you have, that you want to lead a life of a yogi, that's a different thing altogether.
Mm.
I mean, there are a different set of rules that have to be followed if you want to choose that path. But for a normal individual, it is not necessary to literally, turn away from money or turn away from luxuries, but just ensure that those luxuries are within that artha which is earned in a dharmic means. And that's what Swami starts in that previous part of that clip which we played, where he said it all starts with dharma.
Yes.
And what is that dharma? Are you there to do what is expected of you?
Hmm.
If you claim to be a doctor, are you fulfilling that role which is that of a doctor?
Correct.
If you're a student, are you being true to that name? That's what Swami said, you know, when you call something sugar and if it is not sweet, then it's a betrayal of that name which is given to it.
Exactly. And the only challenge that a human being faces is that one has to find one's dharma. When it comes to the inanimate objects or even animals, animals by instinct they follow, you know, whatever they are supposed to follow.
Right.
There's no choice over here. So it's only at the level of the human being that you have this aspect of choice. But Swami elevates choice to a different level and calls it discrimination. Right? And that we always have this faculty of discrimination which we must exercise. And that is at different points of time, our dharma actually keeps evolving. And as a student you have a certain dharma, and then when you start working you have a certain dharma, and before you know it you are a householder with household responsibilities which work both ways. On one end you have to take care of your children, and the other end you have to take care of your parents. Now you are like, the dharma becomes so manifold. Right. And hence one exercises a lot of awareness. It calls for a lot of awareness which keeps questioning, like, what is my dharma now? That is a challenge which a human being faces. It's not a done deal, you know.
Right.
There's no manual that says, like, now this is your dharma, follow that.
Mm.
It has to be a question.
Exactly. And that is the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, where, you know, Krishna says that differentiate between swadharma and paradharma.
Mm.
I mean, that's what he says, tells Arjuna, that you are a kshatriya, don't talk like a sannyasi. That is not your dharma. You are trying to embrace somebody else's dharma because you don't have the courage, or the attachment is clouding your vision to continue with your dharma. Mm. Something is repelling you from your dharma.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the essence of the thing. In a discourse which Swami gave in the 1990 series, where the entire thing was about freedom.
Mm.
The way Swami spoke about it was so fascinating, where he said that you think the distinction between choice and discrimination, as you said.
Mm.
If you say that I have a choice and I want to do what I choose to do, Swami said you're actually bound.
Mm.
Because you are bound under your, your nature and your compulsions and your vasanas. You're not free. You think that you're free to choose, but you're actually not free to choose.
Right.
On the other hand, if you're a discriminating person, you say that probably this is not the most pleasant thing or the most likable thing I can do now, I want to do now, but I'm doing it because this is what I have to do.
Hmm.
Swami said, then you're free, you're in control of yourself.
Right.
Which means you're more free than then. I think that is a very different and beautiful perspective with which you have to look at duty.
Because you brought up this very good point regarding money, because there's a lot of confusion that even as devotees we face, right? That now, since we are on the spiritual path, do we earn money or do we not earn money, right? And I saw a nice way out of this whole dilemma by really looking at what does money help us in, like what does it serve in. And here Swami gives the answer, and he says that basically artha has to be used in the service of dharma, right? While at the basis dharma has to be the foundation of earning artha, but the circle gets completed when artha begins to now serve dharma. And so now you identify like what your dharmas are, like your various duties, and artha is one of the means of satisfying that same dharma. If you don't have money, you cannot take care of your parents and your children and whatever, responsibilities that you have. And at that stage, if you decide that, okay, now is the time to renounce the whole thing, that isn't dharma in any way, right? So, money is therefore required in order to discharge these dharmas to their satisfaction. And I think that is when you become free. Truly free. When I think the Ramayana, that way, is a very beautiful text, where it, on the face of it, it looks like such a severe looking text, epic or a story, where you see that every character is seemingly behaving in a very formal manner, duty bound manner, like I have these duties to my father, I have these duties to my brother, to the kingdom. So one might even begin to think that where is the love aspect? I don't see any love, affection, etc. But once, it's only when you go deeper, that's when you realize that this love is actually being expressed in the form of that duty, and there is no attachment in there.
Right.
It is actually the very highest form of love that there is present there, where you are expressing that in by doing your duty to the utmost. And that's it. Like there is no aspect of attachment. So it gives a very good resolution to that problem of like we have relationships, and how do you conduct those relationships by keeping attachment out of the way, by looking at them as your dharma, as your duty, right? And that way, so that is one way where you can get separated from this attachment towards money by looking at how you can use that money, that artha, to serve your dharma.
Right.
So that's a very beautiful point that Swami is bringing out. That essentially,
no, apart from serving your own dharma, the point that the artha can be used for dharma per se, in general.
Yes.
If I'm not wrong, I think it was Dr. Hema of the General Hospital who was in a conversation which we had with her. She was saying that initially she and her husband, when they used to come for Swami's darshan, they had this idea that Swami speaks about simple living, so we should be very simple. And we know about them. They had a very, very flourishing practice in Canada before they came. So she used to say that they would fly down from Canada when they want to come for Swami's darshan and, get dropped off in Bangalore airport and take a bus from Bangalore to Parthi. So they thought that they were living a simple life like Swami would want it. And she was saying that after listening to more and more discourses that Swami would give and reading Swami's discourses, she realized that we are only saving money, which is again going back into our bank account and probably earning more interest for them. She said, instead, we can afford to take a taxi. And if we do that, we are actually helping a man, dharmically earn his livelihood.
Right.
So he said, she said, this is actually what Swami is saying. We are actually looking at a more superficial expression of what Swami is saying when you say simple living is this. Simple living is not to, you know, go out of your reach and live a life which is extravagant, but within your dharmic abilities, lead a life so that you can also give a livelihood to, you know, those who can depend on you for that.
Absolutely. Right. Yes.
I think that's a very important point. Should we go to the next clip? Since we've already started late, I think we'll go to the next clip and we'll discuss what Swami says in that clip.
Kanuka Vidya Pulara. వారు భారతోద్ధారకులారా, మీరు ఈ విధమైన దీనిని దృష్టి అందించుకొని.
సో స్టూడెంట్స్, ద ఫ్యూచర్ ఆఫ్ ద కంట్రీ, కీపింగ్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ ఇన్ వ్యూ,
ఏ విధమైన అన్యాయ మార్గంలో ప్రవేశించక,
వితౌట్ టేకింగ్ ఎనీ అన్లాఫుల్ మీన్స్,
న్యాయరీతిగా,
లెజిటిమేట్లీ
చక్రాలను ధరించి,
వేరింగ్ ద వీల్స్ ఆఫ్ మొరాలిటీ అండ్ ఇంటెగ్రిటీ,
ప్రేమల చేత,
with truth and love,
ee dharmamunu manamu abhivruddhi gavinchali.
This dharma has to be fostered.
Appude ee desamu tirigi prachina kalamainatundi bharat desamga roopondutundi.
Only then will this country transform into the bharat of yore again.
Bharat desamlandu undinatundi ee dharma sutramulu ee naati kudunu evaru kudunu apagalinchadaniki gaani dee nirmulam gavinchadaniki gaani ee maatram kudunu sadhyam kaadu.
It is impossible for anyone at any time to appropriate or uproot these fundamental principles of righteousness of India.
Annintikini mooladharam bhagavad bhakti.
The basis for everything is devotion for God. Without this devotion, you cannot achieve anything.
విద్యార్థులారా, జగత్తును సంరక్షించేటువంటి భగవత్ తత్వము తప్ప ఏ ట్యాంకులు, ఏ బాంబులు, ఏ అస్త్రములు, ఏ గవర్నమెంట్ కూడా దీని చేత కాదు.
స్టూడెంట్స్, ద హోల్ ఆఫ్ క్రియేషన్ ఇస్ ప్రొటెక్టెడ్ ఓన్లీ బై ద డివైన్ ప్రిన్సిపల్. ఇట్స్ ఇంపాసిబుల్ ఫర్ ఎనీ గవర్నమెంట్ ట్యాంక్స్, బాంబ్స్ అండ్ అమ్యునిషన్స్ టు ప్రొటెక్ట్ ఇట్.
కనుకనే ప్రార్థన చేసి దైవము చేత జగత్తుకు కళ్యాణం చేకూరినట్టుగా మీరు ఆశించడం అత్యవసరం.
Therefore, it is essential that you aspire to achieve the welfare of the whole world by praying to God.
భగవత్ అనుగ్రహం తప్ప ఈనాడు చెలరేగినటువంటి యొక్క అశాంతులకు, అభద్రతలకు ఏమాత్రం కూడా మరొక మార్గం కనిపించటం లేదు.
Other than God's grace, there is no other solution that is visible for today's unrest and insecurity.
నేటి విద్యార్థుల యొక్క శక్తి సామర్థ్యముల చేతనే భవిష్యత్తు లోపల శాంతి భద్రతను చేకూర్చగలరు.
ఓన్లీ విత్ ద ఎబిలిటీస్ అండ్ స్ట్రెంగ్స్ ఆఫ్ టుడేస్ స్టూడెంట్స్, పీస్ అండ్ సెక్యూరిటీ కెన్ బి ఎన్ష్యూర్డ్ ఇన్ ఫ్యూచర్.
ఆధ్యాత్మిక ఖనిజ సంపత్తికై ఆలవాలమైన భారతదేశముందు,
ఇన్ ఇండియా విచ్ ఇస్ ద వెరీ సోర్స్ ఆఫ్ స్పిరిచువల్ ట్రెజర్,
అన్యాయ అక్రమ అనాచార అసత్యములైన పైశాచిక వృత్తులు ప్రభుత్వం ఈ యొక్క ప్రవేశం చేస్తున్నటువంటి సమయంలో,
ఇన్ టైమ్స్ వేర్ డిమోనిక్ టెండెన్సీస్ అండ్ ప్రొపెన్సిటీస్ సచ్ అస్ ఇన్జస్టిస్, వికెడ్నెస్, ఇంప్రాపర్ కాండక్ట్, అన్ట్రుత్ ఆర్ స్టేజింగ్ ద ఫ్రాంటిక్ డాన్స్ ఆఫ్ డిస్ట్రక్షన్,
దీనిని న్యాయ ధర్మ సత్య ప్రేమ అనేటువంటి యొక్క సహజ వృత్తుల చేత,
విత్ ద ఇనేట్ క్వాలిటీస్ ఆఫ్ జస్టిస్, రైచియస్నెస్, ట్రూత్ అండ్ లవ్,
శాంతి భద్రత చేకూర్చడానికి విద్యార్థులే దీనికి తగిన సమర్థులు.
ఓన్లీ స్టూడెంట్స్ ఆర్ కేపబుల్ ఆఫ్ బ్రింగింగ్ అబౌట్ పీస్ అండ్ సెక్యూరిటీ.
ఇలాంటి విద్యార్థులు,
సచ్ స్టూడెంట్స్
అనేక మంది ఈనాడు భారతదేశంలో ఆవిర్భవించారు.
హ్యావ్ మేనిఫెస్టెడ్ ఇన్ ప్లెంటీ ఇన్ ఇండియా టుడే.
ఒక్క ప్రహ్లాదుడు ఒక్క తండ్రిని మాత్రమే మార్చగలిగాడు.
వన్ ప్రహ్లాద కుడ్ చేంజ్ ఓన్లీ వన్ ఫాదర్.
కానీ మీరందరూ కూడా మీ మీ తల్లిదండ్రులను మార్చి వారందరినీ కూడా తగినటువంటి మార్గం లోపల ప్రవేశపెట్టి తగినటువంటి ఆదర్శాన్ని నిరూపించాలి.
యూ ఆల్ నీడ్ టు బ్రింగ్ అ చేంజ్ ఇన్ యువర్ పేరెంట్స్, మేక్ దెమ్ ట్రెడ్ అలాంగ్ ద డిజైర్డ్ పాత్ అండ్ ప్రూవ్ టు బి ఐడియల్స్.
అందరూ ప్రహ్లాద తత్వం మీరు అనుసరించాలి.
యూ ఆల్ హ్యావ్ టు ఫాలో ద ప్రిన్సిపల్ ఆఫ్ ప్రహ్లాద.
అతను మీ యొక్క ఏజ్ లో ఉండేటువంటి వాడే.
హీ వాజ్ ఆల్సో ఆఫ్ యువర్ ఏజ్.
అతను ఒక స్టూడెంట్.
హీ వాజ్ స్టూడెంట్ టూ.
అతనికి బోధించినటువంటి యొక్క గురువులు కూడా చాలా మంచివారే.
ద టీచర్స్ హూ టాట్ హిమ్ వర్ ఆల్సో వెరీ గుడ్ వన్స్.
కానీ తండ్రి యొక్క దుర్బోధన చేత,
బట్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ద రాంగ్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ ఫాదర్,
తండ్రి యొక్క కఠినమైన చర్యల చేత
బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ద టఫ్ యాక్షన్స్ ఆఫ్ హిస్ ఫాదర్
ప్రహ్లాదులకు ఈ యొక్క అధర్మములు ప్రబోధిస్తూ వచ్చారు.
దే వర్ టీచింగ్ అన్‌రైచియస్ లెసన్స్ టు ప్రహ్లాద.
కానీ ప్రహ్లాదుడు గురువులకు కూడా సరి గుణములు నేర్పుతూ వచ్చాడు.
బట్ ప్రహ్లాద టాట్ అప్రోప్రియేట్ లెసన్స్ ఈవెన్ టు హిస్ టీచర్స్.
ఆ గురువులు కూడా హృదయాన్ని మార్చుకుని
ద టీచర్స్ టు చేంజ్ దేర్ హార్ట్స్.
హిరణ్యకశిపుని దగ్గరకు వచ్చి
కేమ్ టు హిరణ్యకశిపు
ఓ రాక్షస ప్రభు
అండ్ సెడ్ ఓ కింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద రాక్షసాస్
ఈ యొక్క పిల్లవాడు సామాన్యుడు కాదు.
దిస్ బాయ్ ఇస్ నాట్ అన్ ఆర్డినరీ వన్.
ఇతను మహాశక్తి సంపన్నుడు.
హీ ఈజ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ఇమెన్స్ పవర్.
కానీ ఇలాంటి వాడిని మీరు శిక్షించడం మంచిది కాదు.
ఇట్స్ నాట్ రైట్ ఫర్ యూ టు పనిష్ సచ్ ఎ వన్.
తన్ను నిశాచరుడు పొడువ దైత్య కుమారుడు మాటి మాటికి ఓ పన్నగశాయి ఓ గరుజభంజన ఓ మహాపన్న శరణ్య చింతించి కాని తాను కన్నుల నీరు తేడు భయకంప సమేతుడు కాడు భూవర.
ఓ కింగ్, when your men tortured this boy born in the clan of demons, he only cried out, oh, the one that reclines on a serpent, oh, the destroyer of the evil, oh, the refuge of all. But he showed no fear, nor did he shed tears.
సామాన్యమైనటువంటి పిల్లలేగిరైపోతే ఈ పెట్టేటువంటి బాధలకు ఎన్ని విధమైనటువంటి బాధలు అనుభవించాలి.
If it was an ordinary child, for the kind of troubles he was put through, how much he would have suffered.
కాని ఇతని యందు ఇలాంటి చర్యలు ఏ మాత్రం కూడా కనిపించటం లేదు.
But in him such suffering was not to be seen.
చిరునవ్వులు చిందులు దక్కుతున్నాడు. చిరునవ్వులు చిందులు.
He is dancing all the while with smiles.
అగ్నిలో వేసినప్పుడు కూడా ఆనందంగా నారాయణ నామచింతన చేస్తున్నాడు.
Even when thrown into the fire, he was blissfully chanting the name of Lord Narayana.
సముద్రంలో ఉంచినప్పటికూ హరినామ హరినామ అనేటువంటి నామస్మరణ చేతనే కాలమును సార్థకం గావించుకుంటున్నాడు.
ఈవెన్ వెన్ డ్రాప్డ్ ఇన్ టు ద ఓషన్ హీ శాంక్టిఫైడ్ హిస్ టైమ్ బై చాంటింగ్ ద నేమ్ ఆఫ్ లార్డ్ హరి.
కానీ దేహమును వదలి దేహిని మాత్రమే స్మరిస్తున్నాడు.
డిస్కార్డింగ్ ద బాడీ హీస్ కాంటెంప్లేటింగ్ ఆన్ ద ఇన్ డ్వెలర్ ద లార్డ్ అలోన్.
ఇలాంటి బిడ్డ ఒక్కడుండినా చాలు.
ఈవెన్ వన్ సచ్ సన్ ఇస్ ఎనఫ్.
కనుకనే ఈ జగత్తునందు ఈనాడు అభివృద్ధిగాంచుతున్నటువంటి భౌతిక విజ్ఞాన స్థితి యందు
సో ఇన్ టుడేస్ వరల్డ్ ద డెవలప్మెంట్ విచ్ ఇస్ టేకింగ్ ప్లేస్ ఇన్ ఫిజికల్ సైన్సెస్
సాంకేతిక పరిజ్ఞాన సత్వముందు
ఇన్ దిస్ సెంచురీ ఆఫ్ టెక్నికల్ నాలెడ్జ్
విద్యార్థులు
స్టూడెంట్స్
సత్యాన్ని గుర్తించి వర్తించడానికి ప్రయత్నించాలి.
షుడ్ రికగ్నైజ్ ద ట్రూత్ అండ్ ట్రై టు ఫాలో ఇట్.
So that was the next clip, and as we could see, Swami is continuing with the same topic of the importance of morality and truth. In fact, Swami starts off by saying, let your chariot be equipped with the wheels of truth and morality, that of integrity and morality. That's what Swami said. And again, it's a call to the students, literally, you know, saying that it all depends on you. I mean, this is not, of course, the first discourse, even in this series, where Swami ends or comes to the conclusion of a discourse exhorting the students. I mean, as we have said, the whole idea of the Samukos itself was, was that here are so many students who are going to go into that academic year. They are given the right orientation. It's not that you are not going to be taught the subjects which are necessary to earn the degree, or your secular education is going to be compromised in any manner. But you're given this real strong foundation of what should be your perspective even as you enter this process of gathering knowledge. And we can see that, you know, how beautifully Swami exhorts the students.
It's a very powerful call to action. It brings to mind, you know, in the year 2000 when Swami first brought up the idea of Grama Seva to all of us students. I'll never forget, you know, first Swami went about describing the a clipping from the press where he saw a lady, a mother, you know, who couldn't feed her child, and for lack of food, the child and the mother, both of them passed away. And Swami was very, very moved by this, and he's speaking about this in a discourse, and we are not clear like where this is going. And all of a sudden then Swami speaks about this Grama Seva project, and at the end he asked all of us students, you know, like, are you all ready? And you know, with one voice, I remember that flow of emotions. See, Swami himself is commanding you. Right? It's such a rare privilege to receive that command from Swami to go and act. And that whole hall would have reverberated, you know, that much energy was there. Right? And I can imagine this, you know, Swami is basically, he's looking at all of us as the soldiers. And that's there's a huge responsibility on all of us, because that's the amount of time that Swami has spent on us. It's a very rare privilege, whether we realize it or not, that, you know, getting that time with Swami and then Swami planting this seed in each one of us students, like that has to be translated into something really very powerful. And what that is, Swami is saying, like the transformation of society itself, right? He says that is resting on your shoulders. And I recall, you know, somehow the youth, right? And Swami is exhorting them that you should transform your parents also if necessary. You should bring transformation in your household and then to the society. Dr. Narasimhan, when he goes to the mobile hospital, so there is of course the curative aspect of the mobile hospital, but Swami had emphasized a lot on the preventive aspect, and which he carries out. So he was looking at what are the habits of the villagers, which is contributing to their disease, prevalence of disease. And he identified that one of them was that they tended to walk everywhere without footwear. And so he wanted to bring about that kind of change, that they all start wearing footwear. And in the first few presentations, speaking to them didn't help. And what he did was, he caught on to the children. And, you know, he started exhorting them in the schools that you should start wearing slippers, and you should then start educating your elders that they should also wear slippers. It is good for them. And he saw the results in about 2-3 months. The students had all transformed the entire villages, right? And that automatically, he said, that brought down the prevalence of so many diseases, right? Okay. And so the youth, right, the children, the youth, these are a very potent force to actually bring about such transformation. Like one way of one thing that we actually see that the society is transitioning a lot, right? Let's look at our views on something like racism, bigotry, etc. So these are things that at one point of time it was quite okay for that society. We cannot blame the people of that society or that generation to say that, you know, they were wrong in indulging, because somehow they've been taught that right. is the right thing. But it is the youngsters, right, who first begin to notice that, we need not think of different races as different people, as being inferior, superior in any sense, right? And it is they who then start causing that change, right? They begin to question society that why do you want to hold values of this sort? They call them outmoded, but, you know, it is more that expansive, right? And so that is how society slowly began to transition, that even the elders begin to see, okay, if these children are able to see more unity than we can, that it's time that we started seeing that same kind of unity. And that's how society progresses on many fronts, like, you know, the being more democratic, more even freeing up of values, you know, for women, etc. All of these transitions, they begin with maybe the teenagers. Right. So even like one would recall perhaps the protests which are held by the youth in US at the time of the Vietnam War. Right.
Right.
So the peace, so that was a movement which is actually driven by the youth.
Right.
So they are a great potent force, and Swami is harnessing that power of change by holding these children to account, these youth to account, for delivering on something very, very vital to society,
right,
which is these aspects of dharma.
Right. I mean, and it's a beautiful exercise of harnessing that power in a sense. You know, we all know that there is immense energy, and that goes without saying.
Yes.
And I mean, this energy can go both ways, or you know, it could get destructive. It could get erratic also, in a sense. So you can see that the structuring of the message itself It starts with self-control, starts with discipline, starts with the importance of being, gathering yourself together and having a mastery over yourself. And then this idea of Swami is talking so much about morality and integrity. And, you know, as you were saying, Swami is looking at this gathering and saying that you're all like soldiers. But Swami is saying that make integrity and justice the wheels of your chariot. It's almost like a beautiful way of saying that, you know, you have the power, but it has to be restrained, it has to be focused, it has to be in the right direction. And Swami is saying that this change, as we've seen many times in many occasions, where, in fact, even to the students, Swami would many times say that it's your duty to, you know, you have had the opportunity of learning these values from Swami, and it is your duty when you go back that in a nice manner, tell it to the elders in your house, that, you know, don't behave like in a typical elitist sense, but go back and share what you've learned.
Yeah.
And in fact, more so in the case of students who come from rural backgrounds, that would happen. You know, they would go back and they would have, and that would give Swami immense joy when Swami would hear that they've gone back and they're speaking to some of the people in their towns and villages. That used to give Swami a lot of joy. And the other point which is really striking in this, before we come to the example of Prahlada, which is so beautiful, is Swami emphasizing again on devotion.
Yes.
Swami saying all of it comes from love for God. In fact, I remember a very beautiful conversation which V.K. Narasimhan, the former editor of Sanatan Sarthi, had once recollected. We all know that Swami would come into the Trayi and Swami would start a conversation by Amy Samacharam and all that. And many of these elders would actually speak about whatever is the breaking news of the morning, you know, from the newspaper, this has happened, that has happened. And many times Swami would discuss politics with them and they would say, Swami, this party is winning and this election is going on and all of that. So I think, I don't know what was there in the paper that morning, but V.K. Narasimhan was very gloomy and he told Swami, he said, Swami, what is happening to the world? There's no idea. And he made a statement, he said, Swami, there is so much adharma and so much sin all around. It is surprising how the world is still, I mean, the earth is still not split into two halves. He said, there's so much adharma that even Mother Earth would have given up and split into two halves. And then Swami said, it's true, there is so much adharma, but what is keeping the earth together and what is sustaining the earth are my devotees, Swami said. The devotion that people have, and it's not when Swami says my devotees, it's not necessarily Sai devotees,
yes.
It's not us. Any form of devotion, love for God, Swami says, that is what is sustaining the world, that is what is keeping the world alive in a sense, countering all that negative which is there through this process of sin and adharma.
Yes. Even in this series of discourses, we saw Swami speaking about devotion as the right context in which transformation happens.
Right.
And it is the best catalyst that there is, right? So, not only, I think, more important than that, I think the role is more in sustaining that transformation. So, because as far as I can see, you know, of course, Swami speaks about something in a discourse and out of that love, we immediately say, yes, Swami, we will do it, right? Or somebody giving up a bad habit or more than that, a trait, a certain trait, you know, maybe of gossiping or speaking ill about others, etc. At some point of time, they say, we will drop this, right?
Mm-hmm.
But most of us lack that complete understanding, which will bring about that radical change, right? It is mostly because we say, Swami said, let us drop it, that we drop a certain bad habit or a trait or a vice, right? So what has to sustain it is that bhakti, that out of that devotion, again and again we need to keep making that promise to ourselves.
Right.
Because it, human nature and our own nature is such that we are going to break our promises. So what holds that promise together is love for Swami.
Right.
That is the most reliable catalyst there is. It may not be the only, you know, way that transformation happens, but it's certainly the, let's say, the royal pathway.
Right. And of course, the second part of that clip, Swami speaks extensively about the example of Prahlada. Swami so beautifully and sweetly says that he was a little lad like any of you. He was also a student. And, you know, he was put through all these difficulties. And he Swami said that he also tried to transform his teachers and his parents. You know, of course, that is how the character of Prahlada is depicted even in the scriptures. It's not spoken of a young boy who is rebelling against the father, but who was trying to reason with the father. He was trying to say that, you know, this is what I found, this is what I've learned.
Absolutely.
And I feel this is the right thing. There is no sign of disrespect or disregard for the father. He actually, in fact, shows a lot of love for the father, even when he is trying to debate with him and try to bring him to into the right path.
It's a very important lesson for all of us that about how to deal with authority itself.
Right.
Because throughout he maintains that calmness, that composure, and at no point does he stray away from decorum. Right. That he, at all times, he's being persuasive, he's pleading his case, and going very, what shall I say, you know, without, as you said, without rebellion, but also at no point of time does he show any kind of resistance or anger.
Right.
Like, he goes through whatever he has to go through. Right. And actually, perhaps that is, like, you know, one of the things that actually mollifies his father and creates that that setting in which, you know, the Lord can come in. Because it definitely has that effect of, you know, that the person is not reacting no matter what I'm doing. There is something, there's a power behind that, and he wants to discover that power,
right,
that source of that kind of composure, that demeanor, right?
That's what Swami says, that the attendants of Hiranyakashipu who try to torture Prahlada come back and say that this is what happens, and this boy doesn't seem to be perturbed at all. And the more we trouble him, he only seems to be going deeper into prayer and deeper into contemplation.
Yeah.
I think that again is a very beautiful message that Swami is giving, because Swami is saying that you all as students have to follow the example of Prahlada. And towards the end, Swami speaks of this. He says, this is the essential character of Prahlada. Here he was being troubled. Here he was being put through untold misery. But all through, he was facing it with a smile, and he was only contemplating on the Lord. He was only taking Lord Narayana's name. Literally saying that, you know, this is the ideal way for you to walk this path of transformation, what Swami spoke about in the previous part.
Yes.
Where he said, you know, you students should go and take charge of the society. It should be in this manner. It is not with anger. It is not with being reactive to the situation,
yes,
or the environment around, but being untouched by it and being still focused in what your goal is.
In fact, before that, Swami makes this very clear. All of you should transform your parents if necessary, and set examples with your conduct. You know, it is not about preaching. Okay, it is not about, definitely not about pointing out what is right, what is wrong. But it's that conduct, which is that equanimity which Prahlada showed through all kinds of tribulations which his own father was putting him through. Right? Despite that, he maintains that dharma of his. And that steadfastness is, you know, what would have moved his father. And also one small little message that Swami is throwing in over here, that Swami says that even when thrown into fire, he continued to repeat Narayana's name in bliss. Again, Swami is showing that how it is the power of devotion that helps you hold on to dharma despite everything else. And even in the face of trouble, this young lad, he was remembering the Lord's name. There is nothing else that can do that except the Lord's name itself. Because even Lord Rama says that the name is itself more powerful than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Because as they point out, if Hanuman could actually jump across to Lanka or move mountains and all those feats, which you don't see Lord Rama himself performing. But he could achieve all this with Lord Rama's name.
Right.
So that is the power that the name of the Lord has. And therefore, here Swami is saying that, you know, that we should never, even under such dire straits, that we should never forget the Lord's name.
Right.
I recall there is one old student who was telling me precisely this. And Swami had invited all of them to Uttarayi, because they were doing Grama Seva activities extensively in the Vrindavan area. And Swami was very, very happy with them. And he called the old students to Uttarayi for a lunch. And after the lunch, they were all settled down in that front room, the Jhula room as we call it. And Swami was speaking to all of them. But he made a pointed reference to one thing. He said, you know, even if you all face financial difficulties, you should not leave my feet.
Mm.
And while saying this, he specifically looked at the student who at that time was like leading a very, you know, he was in swimming in money, you could say. Right? There's so much that he was earning and he was able to give away, that he just smiled and, you know, took that as a message from Swami. But it was only 2 years later when he fell into dire straits that when he realized that Swami has already seen this coming, and the compassionate Lord gives that, you know, the warning before, that these are likely to happen, and I what is best for you is that you still hold on to me, that no matter what, right? So, so beautiful, you know, like Swami, that compassion, that knowing that this is going to happen, right? and giving the balm much ahead of time.
Right. I think time is up, but this one clip which we played, I think, is summarizes what Swami literally expects of the youngsters. There are so many points in that. As we said, Swami spoke extensively about dharma. Swami spoke about doing one's duty, being just, being following the path of integrity. And then Swami spoke about being an example, being the change agents in a real sense, not complaining about what is the situation in the society, but take the onus upon oneself to do the needful. Then how you have to go about that, do it through your conduct. As you said, it's not about going and speaking around, making speeches, through your conduct and with a smile on your face and the Lord's name in your lips. And literally Swami has given all that you need to do to take on this role of being transformers in the society. So I think we'll conclude with that. Thank you, dear listeners, for joining us. We most humbly offer this effort at Swami's Lotus Feet. Do join us again next week for the continuation, probably the conclusion of this discourse too. We'll see how it goes at 7:30 p.m. next week for the next episode of Shravanam Mananam Vaidhyasanam. In a short while from now, you'll be joined by Brother Bishu and Sai Prakash for the last segment of today's Thursday Live, the Vahini Satsang. Of course, there is a special guest too. I'll meet you all next week with Hari at 7:30 p.m. Thank you. Happy listening.